you know, this proves Hashem runs the world. We don't need proof, but what's the last sugya we did? Very well. We did the sugya of Syria. Syria and Kibbutz Yachid. So as you know, I try to listen to Rav Schechter, right? I try. I don't listen to everything he says. So he's teaching Sanhedrin this year. And the middle of Sanhedrin discusses a sugya that talks about Eretz Yisrael, Bin Kadosh, Deraisa, Derabanan. And it refers to Syria. And he discussed Syria. He discussed the Daf Ches for 10 minutes. He discussed Rashi and Tosfos. And, this is what's exciting. So he said over the sugya. He said Rashi is a Litzarko.
Yeah.
For his benefit. You know, and Tosfos is Kosfos Sifri. And then he said, and this is like when you're a gadol. What did Rav Schechter say here? He said, you have to learn Nach with Rashi. Remember that? He said, it's fantastic. Nach with Rashi. So what did he say? He said, and Rashi in Yehoshua quotes the Sifri.
What?
Isn't that exciting? It has to add, you and I just, what's Rashi's view of the Sifri, right? We're discussing, right? Because our Gemara is not like the Sifri. Rashi in Yehoshua quotes the Sifri, which means, maybe, yes, now you got to think about it. When there's a pasuk in Yehoshua that's very similar, remember you guys asked during Shir that the Sifri quotes a pasuk which sounds like the pasuk in the Chumash. So that pasuk in Yehoshua, Rashi quotes a Sifri. So the point is that maybe Rashi's like the Rambam. Who knows? In other words, maybe Rashi read the Gemara, because the word Yachid means, you know, Yachid. And maybe Rashi read, in other words, it's possible, now we have to start thinking again about Rashi, because Rashi, no, but it's exciting, but it's exciting. Now that shows you when you're a god, you have the whole picture, you understand? And this whole thing was like in 6 or 7 minutes. Rav Schechter explains everything quickly. And in like 6 or 7 minutes, I wanted to play it for the guys in Shir, just to hear him talk about it. So I happened to hear those 10 minutes that discuss our topic. I heard on Friday. Wasn't that exciting?
Oh, it's cool.
When I was walking, yeah. I listen a lot, that's what I do. Whatever, everyone does their own thing. That's what I do. Okay, here we go. So that's exciting. That's exciting, no? Okay, here we go. Famous Rashi's on Vayakel. Yes, I'll show you later. Yeah, sure.
I'll be back.
Okay, here we go. Okay. Vayakel Moshe. This happened after Yom Kippur. We discussed the last week. According to Rashi, this is really Chazal. Well, Chazal say, Moshe brought down the second Luchos on Yom Kippur. Now, there's a world famous question, why is Sukkos in the fall? Speaking of Sukkos. Because Sukkos is Zecher to the Nani HaKavod, so it should have been in the spring. We got the Nani HaKavod in the spring. So why Sukkos in the fall? That's a famous question. It could have been any time. Wait. No, good, one second. So there's a famous comment of the tour, fine. So the Gra says, beautiful idea. That Chazal say that when we did Chayit Egel, the Anani HaKavod left. When did they come back? They came back when we began to build the Mishkan. So if you work out the days, Moshe comes down on Yud Aleph, and he says, we're going to build the Mishkan now. And he says, please, bring in your donations. It says later, Baboker, in Perikov Pasuk Dalet, they brought donations for 2 days, Yud Beis Yud Gimel. Yud Aleph, they organized everything, divided it up, and they began building the Mishkan on Tesvav. That's when the Anani HaKavod came back. And it's beautiful. What is Sukkos Zecher to? Anani HaKavod Mamish. So Sukkos was set for Tesvav. What happened on Tesvav? Tishrei. The Gra says, this is what happened on Tesvav Tishrei. This is when the Anani HaKavod came back. So Sukkos represents the Shekhinah coming back, the Anani HaKavod, and that's why it was Tesvav. So Sukkos is not just a zecher to the fact that we had Hashem guided us in the Midbar. That's the main thing. It's also a zecher to the fact that He accepted our tshuva for the Chet Egel, And that's why it fits perfectly that when his sukkah always falls out right after Yom Kippur. Because that's exactly the theme of Sukkot. This will be in the book. This is very nice. You understand? Yeah, B'zat Hashem. In other words, the original... No. Right. The original historical reason why Sukkot is Tesva of Tishrei, we re-experience every year. What's it about? That Hashem forgave us for the Avera and we had to come it back. So after Yom Kippur, we're forgiven. We start again. You got it? It's very nice. So that's the famous gra. That's the famous gra. Why Sukkot is not only in the fall, but why it's on Tesva of Tishrei. Okay, that's important. Let's go on. What? Okay, let's go on. Here we go. World famous Rashi, Perek Lamedei Pasuk Gimel. It says, don't build a fire. Lo sevaru reish. Don't light a fire. It's one of the malachas. This is the Gemara has this. Why is Eish mentioned again? The 39 Elvis malachas. The only one mentioned by itself in the Torah is this one. The other ones we have on the Masorah, 39. Why is this one mentioned again? So you have to know this Rashi. This is a machlokas. Is it Havara Lilav Yitzasa or Lechalik Yitzasa? One view is that Havara was mentioned to show it's a lower level of Avera. All the other malachos are a Chiyuv Misa. And building a fire, Karbis if it's without eating Basra, and Havara is only a Lav. There's one Tana who holds that building a fire is a lower level Avera on Shabbos than all the other Averas. We don't pass in that. We pass in the other way. L'chalik Yitzasa. L'chalik Yitzasa means that just like Havara was mentioned separately, each of the malachas is viewed independently, which means, let's say you forget that it's Shabbos and you do 10 Averas, 10 malachas, you're chayiv 10 different Karbanos Chatas. In other words, the Torah is teaching us, it's not that there's one big thing, you can't do malacha on Shabbos. So let's say you do 5 different malachos. So you did the same lab? No. If you did 5 different malachos, it's called chiluk malachos. You're chayiv a separate carbon chatas for each type of malacha. You got it? Okay, let us, now this is in the book. It says they have to, everyone donated to the Mishkan. It says, nadva libo, nadva rucho, their spirit moved them, nadiv lev, generous heart. It says the men came along with the women. Sounds like the women were the primary ones. The men came with the women. Okay? Now, what's the thing? What's the special day for women that we have? What special day for women that? Rosh Chodesh. Women have Rosh Chodesh. It's in the Rishonim. It's in the Tur. It's quoted in Tosfos and Megillah. Come closer. It's quoted. It's mentioned in the Yerushalmi. Okay. So you, women. Why do they have Rosh Chodesh? Why were they given Rosh Chodesh? Because they didn't do Chet Egel. Hashem, since they didn't do Chet Egel, Hashem gave them a gift. That's why. Wait a second. That women. The custom is women don't do melacha on heavy melacha on Rosh Chodesh. They don't sew on Rosh Chodesh. They don't do heavy malacha. There's a discussion of it, like hand laundry. They don't do on Rosh. Nowadays that we have machines, there are different customs whether they'll do laundry on Rosh Chodesh. But in the old days, hand laundry, they went to on Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a special day for women. They didn't do Chet Egel. What's the connection of Chet Egel and Rosh Chodesh? I don't have my shmos Beautiful story from Rav Korn Shlita. I think Rav Shlomo Zalman has that in the Halicha Shlomo. That same idea. So here's the deal. Women did not give the Chet Egel. Why? Because maybe they
did.
No. Maybe they didn't give the chetega because they love their jewelry so much. When do we see that the fact that they did not give the chet to Egel was really l'shem shemayim? Because when it came to the Mishkan, they did donate. Oh, so it's the donation to the Mishkan which proved this is in the Rishonim, in the Daz Kanim, in the back of the Mikos Kedolos. What proved that chet to Egel when they didn't give was l'shem shemayim? Because they donated to the Mishkan a lot. Oh, and the Mishkan began functioning on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So there's an action of Rosh Chodesh to the Mishkan. So that's why they were given Rosh Chodesh. You understand? It's the Chet to Egel. The contrast to the Mishkan. Oh, and the Mishkan is linked up to Rosh Chodesh. The Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And they were given all the Rosh Chodeshes like as a hemshech of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's a very important shot, because without that, it's unclear. What's the connection of Chet Egel and women? Of Rosh Chodesh, of Chet Egel and women? That's the question. You got it? It's a very nice shot. That's a very nice shot. That's in the Shmos book.
Is it a halacha or like?
It's a minhag. The minhag is that women don't do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. It's a minhag. It's women like that minhag. It's a minhag. Okay. Next, so we saw the draw already. Okay. Then there's another important Rashi. It's a pasuk in a Rashi. Bimaros Hatsovos, the mirrors. What were the mirrors used for? To build the kior. These were the special mirrors to build the kior. Who has the Shmos book? Anyone have the Shmos book here? Anyone have it here? Can I borrow my Shmos book? So,
no,
I'm done. Wait, one second.
Bow guys.
No, he gets a shout out. Thank you to Mr. Rosenberg for the beautiful sales.
Bow guys.
No. The mirrors for the Mishkan. So the mirrors. What were these mirrors? The mirrors that the women used. What were the mirrors? They were miskashtos spent. They made themselves look beautiful. When? Made themselves look beautiful. And they used them for the kior. Moshe didn't want to use them. Hashem said, no, these are chavivas alai. Why? Because the women used the mirrors to help what? To help have children in Mitzrayim. The Jews, the men were tired and whatever, and they didn't want to spend time with their wives and live with their wives, you know, normal married lives. And they make themselves look beautiful. And mishadalto bedvarim, they would entice him with words. I'm more beautiful. And then the husbands would have more desire and have relations with them, and they would have children. So the women had emunah, and the women had emunah in Mitzrayim. Okay. Oh. So here we go. What is the message we're supposed to learn from the donation of the Mirror of Mishkan? So Rashi quotes one shot. Oh. So what's the message? The message is that Rav Hirsch adds on to the Medrash. By the way, Rav Hirsch, very often I've noticed, I'm not an expert, many things Rav Hirsch says, what he's really doing is he's elaborating on a Medrash. He doesn't always tell you. This shows that the physical, sensual sides of human beings is not merely excluded from the sphere which is to be sanctified by the Mikdash, but it is the first and most essential object of this sanctification. At rock bottom, man has complete moral free will in moral matters. It is just this size of human nature which is necessary to come under the influence of the Mishkan. If the sanctification of life which aimed at it is to be achieved. In other words, the purpose of the Mishkan is to do what? What's the purpose of the Mishkan? Hello? That was not a rhetorical question. What is the purpose of the Mishkan? V'asali mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. Connect, and then what? And then have the kedusha in our lives, our own lives. B'shachanti b'socham, your ordinary life. So, this is beautiful. as you come into the Mishkan, the kiyor, the first thing, reflected the women were mekadesh their physical lives. The women were mekadesh, that was l'shem Shemai, they wanted to have children to bring the glow. So the mirrors represent being mekadesh, our physical lives. That's a perfect introduction to the Mishkan. That's the whole goal of the Mishkan. That's Rav Hirsch's elaboration on Rashi. That's very nice. We live in a generation in which the physical, sensual side of human beings is used and portrayed in a vulgar manner. As Torah Jews, we have to act in the exact opposite way. This is one message of the mirrors. Okay. That's one pshat. But there's another pshat. There's another pshat. What does Unkulis say? Unkulis says, Nechashim, 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 Litzalo'a. Unkulis' pshat is that the women would come and daven. Tzaloa means to daven at the entrance to the Mishkan. And these women who came to daven donated their mirrors. What's the connection between the mirrors and davening? That's not so clear. Rav Nevensol explains that these mirrors were chaviv ma'od, very dear to the women. They probably carried them around. And Rav Nevensol writes as follows. It's possible that when they came to the Mishkan to daven, they did not originally intend to donate their mirrors. But then, as they were davening, then their tfilos inspired them to donate even these precious items to the Mishkan. So the mirrors represent the idea of tfila and kirva l'Hashem. It's a beautiful idea. And this, of course, is the message we should take with us when we enter the Mishkan. The point of the Mishkan was through the Karbanos, we would daven over the Karbanos, we'd say a vidui or a divrei shevach over the Karbanos before we offered them. And then we also became closer to Hashem. So these mirrors really teach us the proper lesson of the Mishkan. I think we can have a third connection between the mirrors and tefillah. Another connection between the mirrors and tefillah. When one looks in a mirror, he sees himself, a reflection of himself. And this is one of the basic yesodos of tefillah. When one davens, the goal is not to change Hashem's mind, the goal of oneself. That's why tefillah is in a reflexive form, because palel means to judge. You're judging yourself, you're changing yourself. Rav Lef gives a perfect mashal. Let's say a person, a surgeon, excuse me, a doctor says to a patient, you need surgery. But if you exercise properly and eat right for the next few months and get into better shape, then you'll be able to survive without the surgery and use some other way of getting better. When you change, you don't need surgery anymore. When a person davens to Hashem, we hope to change through the tefillah, and then we're zocha to something else from Hashem. Tefillah, as well, Rav Lef writes, tefillah, as well as Torah and mitzvahs, can affect one's spiritual condition, and hence change what is necessary and beneficial regarding one's ultimate welfare. Put another way, tefillah does not change Hashem's mind, but rather it changes man's condition. Hence the word lehispalel. Hence the word lehispalel, to pray, is a reflexive verb, which connotes causing an effect on oneself. I heard from Rav Yoel Rakovsky that the pshat of Rashi and Unkulis blend together very well. We know that the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael is often compared to the relationship between a husband and wife. So just like the wife created a tshuka, had a tshuka for the connection with her husband, so too every Jew has a tshuka, a desire to get close to Hashem. So it fits very well that the same mirrors represent the love of husband to wife and the tshuka that Bnei Yisrael have, the love, the desire to become closer to Hashem. Samanafshi lelokim lekelcha. It's a beautiful idea Rav Yoel said to combine the pshatim of Rashi and Onkelos.